welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you? And if you don't recognize someone near you, please introduce yourself.
Good morning. We got a new song that we're going to try out. The words should be pretty familiar to you, though, so I think we can pick it up on it. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. The verses have some familiar words to them too. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. Kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for sending Jesus, who teaches us how to pray. We know that you always listen to us. Help us to listen to you today. Amen. You give light, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. Every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
temple and Redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testament as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. You may be seated. This morning, as we move into a time of prayer, I want to invite you to lift up a few specific things. First of all, I invite you to pray for Wednesday evening when Marcia Wiggins is here. Some of you knew her when she was one of the pastors here in the mid to late 80s and knew her son Cameron. She lost her son Cameron to his addiction to heroin. And I invite you to be in prayer for this event on Wednesday evening. I invite you to come, but I also invite you to be in prayer for those who will be here who have lost a child, for those who will be here who have a family member who is struggling with addiction, for those who will be here who might be struggling with addiction themselves. I invite you to hold that time in prayer, that it will be a powerful ministry for those who are present, for those who need to be here. I also invite you to remember the names of the folks who are on the screen this morning, people who are part of Trinity and especially in need of our prayer, and you can add Eric Werner to that as well. He was admitted to the hospital yesterday. And then finally, I invite you to hold the Judd family in your prayers. Walt is sitting over here this morning, and Walt lost his wife, Beverly, on Wednesday. The Judds have been a part of Trinity for many, many years, and Walt, we pray for you. We pray for your daughter, Cherith, who lives with you, for your adult sons, Ruben and Graham, and for their families as well. So I invite you now to bow your heads and let's spend a few moments in silent prayer as you lift up these concerns and others that you may have on your hearts this morning. Almighty God, you are the giver of all good things. You are the giver of hope. We are grateful for your presence in our lives, day by day, moment by moment. You are the breath in our lungs, and for that we give you thanks and all the praise. Oh God, we come to you this morning with different concerns on our hearts. This morning we pray for our global community, for the needs and concerns that surround so many. We pray for those who are carrying heavy burdens,
faith here in this community and across the world. We pray for those living in the midst of violence. We pray for those living in poverty. We pray for those who work for peace and reconciliation. We pray for all those who are sick. And we pray for those who mourn. May they feel your tender care and mercy and know your love and strength in their lives. Oh God, as we lift up these prayers, we pray that you will be our Holy Comforter, that you will hold all of our prayers, and that you will rule in our hearts. Spirit of holiness, descend on us, we pray. Enliven us to be your servants. Empower us to be your witness. And may the light of Christ shine in us, that all may know that we are followers and may experience your love and grace through each of us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. His bones will sing. Pray. Are you
an opportunity now to give back out of our financial resources an offering to God. I'm mindful of the ways that this particular offering goes to continue the ministries of this church. And this church is the people of God. And it is also this sacred space that we are given. And in Scripture we read, where two or more are gathered, Christ is right there in the middle. And this is a place that I have witnessed over the last several years, where people gather throughout the week, not only on Sunday morning, but they'll gather this afternoon, and they'll gather tomorrow morning, and tomorrow afternoon, and tomorrow night, and it goes like that every day of the week. And as they gather, they are a people of prayer. You are a people of prayer, where we continually turn our eyes towards Christ and pray for God's will to wash over us and for us to live into that. So as we give back this morning, may we give for the continuation of creating space, so we are people of prayer. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all the gifts that flow into our lives, and we give back to you now out of our financial resources, asking you to anoint these resources, that they may continue to further your work among us and through us as a church. Help us to continue to be a people of prayer, a people who turn ourselves towards you and allow your will and your all that we do. May we do this for your glory and for the salvation of all humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, my name is Evan Victor, and today Sunlight is singing Through the Dark by One Direction.
song talks about how God is our light and how He will help us overtake our times of trouble. The line in the song, "We will find our way through the dark," compares to John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows with me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whenever we get lost or walk down the wrong path, God will not leave us in the dark. He will carry us to the light and guide us home. Now singing Sunlight Youth Choir.
Sunlight. You know what I loved especially about that was the very last line in the chorus. When the night is coming down on you, we will find a way through the dark. That's how our relationship with God is. We, you know, together, God and each of us, when we are going through whatever it is we're going through, it's a partnership. It's a together thing. And that speaks to where we are going starting today and the next few weeks of worship, talking about prayer and focusing our attention on how to pray and the communication that happens in prayer by looking at the most familiar of all Christian prayers. It's the one that we recite just about every week in worship here and in churches around the world. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. The source material for that prayer comes from two places in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, it is found right in the heart of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' longest message that he preaches in that Gospel from chapters 5 to chapter 7. And right in the middle of that, Jesus offers it as a way to pray, as a model prayer. And then in the Gospel of Luke, we also hear a version of it as well. And in that gospel, it happens right after Jesus has just finished praying himself, and the disciples have been observing him. And then when he's finished, they ask him. They say, "Teach us to pray." That's where the title of the series for this month comes from that spot in Luke where the disciples say, "Teach us to pray." Now today I'm going to read for us the Matthew version because it is longer than the Luke version. Closer to what you are familiar with in terms of the way we recite the Lord's Prayer each week. But you need to know that it's not going to sound exactly alike because as scholars have come to understand translations better and moving from Greek to English and then from earlier manuscripts that were translated into Greek, some of the words sound a little bit different, but we're creatures of habit, right? So we continue to say it the way that it's been familiar. One part that you won't hear when I read it today is what we typically close with. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's because in the Greek, that actually isn't there. It showed up for some reason in the King James Version. Somebody decided to kind of add that in, and so we keep saying it, and it's fine because it certainly is appropriate to speak about God having ultimate glory and authority, but it's not actually in the New Testament writing. So today I'll read for us from the Gospel of Matthew. Let me say one other thing before I start that though, and that is this. As best as we can tell now, given, again, scholarly inquiry and looking into the roots of this prayer and how Jesus would have originally shared it with the disciples, because of the word choice and the way in which it's translated into the Greek and then translated into English for us again, it seems that Jesus probably taught them in Aramaic rather than in Hebrew. So Aramaic would have been the more, let's say, colloquial, everyday vernacular, whereas Hebrew was the language of the temple. And I think that's striking for us because one of the things that I find with people is that sometimes they struggle with prayer because they think, I'm supposed to use particular words, and I have to come to it from a particular formal approach. I have to say all the right stuff. And it's interesting to me that Jesus used the everyday language to teach the disciples and us what really is an everyday prayer. I mean, this prayer deals with everyday stuff. Needing food on the table. Needing to practice and receive forgiveness. Needing help in overcoming temptation and evil. This is everyday stuff. And Jesus uses their everyday language to teach them how to pray about this. So hear now this reading that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. So each of the next 4 weeks, we will be looking at sections of the prayer. Today, I'm going to look at the first part that begins with the address, Our Father who art in heaven, and ends with that phrase, on earth as is in heaven. Because this whole first section is drawing our attention toward the one to whom we are praying and toward that one's purposes. So each word and each phrase have meaning and have purpose. Jesus was very intentional in the way in which he taught the disciples to pray, beginning with the very first two words, "Our Father." The word "our" says something important to us because every time we say "our," we are reminded that when we communicate with God, we're not just communicating with somebody that is my God. We're communicating with somebody who is our God. And when we communicate to someone who is our God, then that helps us remember that we live in community. We do not live in isolation. And that also is a good reminder for us that every time I pray, if I'm praying for something that I want, whatever it is that I want that I'm praying for doesn't just affect me, it affects others as well. So a good place to start is with the word "our" as a recognition that we are one of many who pray to God. And then the second word is a word of personal address, the word "Father," a word that many in Christian faith have come to love and appreciate as a deeply personal and intimate way of addressing God. And that is exactly why Jesus gave it to them, because Jesus, who throughout the Gospels in a number of places uses that word to speak to God, is inviting the disciples and us into that same kind of intimacy. Isn't that amazing? That in this prayer, Jesus is not saying that we have to keep some distance, but we can draw near to the God who is as close as our breath. And we can use language, and "Father" is one word that we can use. But it's not the only word. There are other ways that we can use, words that we can use as well, that help us feel that personal, intimate connection with the God to whom we speak. Our Father. And then the next phrase, "who art in heaven," which is an interesting juxtaposition, right? Because as soon as we have drawn near, we realize that the one who we are being invited to draw near to is at the same time distinct and different from us. We are living on earth. God is in heaven. God is both near and distant, as close as our breath and beyond our ability to understand and comprehend. And from where God is, since God is in heaven, according to the prayer, God has a view of all of God's children as we pray. From there, we move into the body of the prayer. And I want to suggest to you this morning that in the beginning, the address is "Our Father who art in heaven." And then when we move to the next phrase, we begin to move into a section where Jesus is inviting us to make appeals to God for particular things to happen. And then when we get to the end of this section, we'll say together, "on earth as it is in heaven." So the first of those phrases is, "hallowed be your name." Now it's possible that Jesus is offering this simply as a statement. God's name is holy. And in fact, we know this to be true. And throughout Scripture, that is an affirmation that is made time and time again. But in the context of looking ahead to the phrase "on earth as it is in heaven," this is also a plea, and one that even has some sense of urgency. That in saying that, we are asking, we are pleading with God, "make your name holy on earth. Let your name be holy here." And we are recognizing the importance of honoring God's name as worthy of our praise, as creatures made in God's image. One of the things that may be helpful here is remembering that in the Hebrew tradition, the word that we translate as "Lord" in English is actually a cluster of consonants. That the people understood to really be unintelligible. It was a way of saying that God's name is beyond our capacity to understand or to even speak intelligibly. It is so holy. And so what we sometimes translate into Yahweh is really this unintelligible speech, but it's our best attempt to say something about the God who is holy and beyond our reach. After acknowledging that holiness, we ask for something very specific. Your kingdom come. And when we say your kingdom come, we are asking for the fulfillment of God's reign. We spoke that this morning in our affirmation of faith. The Korean affirmation says this. It says, we believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society. And notice that what that particular affirmation of faith does is to link these next two phrases of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Because the reality is those two things are inseparable. If God's kingdom is to come, then it will be because God's will is being done. And if God's will is done, then in fact God's kingdom will come. So to state one is to state the other. And those two always belong together. We might also remember that when we say your kingdom come, we are joining our voices with John in the final book of the Bible, Revelation, in the final chapter, chapter 21, where we hear him articulate a vision for what that day that we cannot see yet will be like. He talks about the new heaven and the new earth and how in that day God will come down and make God's dwelling place among mortals. It's striking that at the end of Scripture, in Revelation, it doesn't talk about us going up. It talks about God coming and dwelling among mortals. And that in that day, there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. All tears will be wiped away, and everything will be as it should be. The kingdom come on earth. And then there's that other phrase that's a part of our reading for this morning. Your will be done. And perhaps that is the one that is most challenging for us in this section of the prayer today. It is tough to give up control, isn't it? It is tough to say, yeah, you know what, you go ahead and have it your way. This part of the prayer is about us over, relinquishing our own will, our own desires, our own ideas of what we think is best and what we want and what we need, and trusting in God. This goes hand in hand with what Catherine talked to us last week about in Job's response to God at the end of the book of Job, and she used the word yielding to describe what happens there. That is what is happening in this section of the Lord's Prayer. We are yielding to God's ways and to God's will. And remember that this is exactly the prayer that Jesus prays at the most difficult moment of his life. Remember that after the Last Supper, when he goes out to the garden to pray, he says, if this can pass, let it be so, but ultimately, not my will. And I have to believe that the reason Jesus was able to pray that in that moment was because Jesus had prayed that time and time again throughout the everyday, ordinary moments of his life. And so then when it gets to that final moment, he is able to say with confidence and with great trust, even though it's a difficult moment, he is able to say, your will be done. That be done. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in that last phrase for today, we are adding specificity to the prayer. We are saying, let it be right here, right where we are, right where we live, like it is in the kingdom that already exists in heaven. Now, I want to suggest for us this morning that when we get to this spot in the prayer, it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to just hit the pause button for a few moments. Literally, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it would not be a bad idea just to stop right here. Because the whole first section of the prayer up to this point is putting our attention on God's ways and God's will. And right here, we could just stop and listen for a little bit. You know, at the beginning of the year this year, I invited you all to take 10 minutes a day and sit in silence and prayer. And more of that 10 minutes should really be spent in silence than in talking. And we could even use this prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gives us, as a way to do that. To begin with our attention on God's ways and God's will, and then to just stop and rest in that for a moment before we move on. This part of the prayer is about us putting first things first. About recognizing that at our best, we will start with God's agenda rather than with our own. So what if when we prayed, we started at something like this? What if we said, hey, God, what is it that you want to accomplish today? And how can I be a part of that? Catch that? You know, usually when we pray, we come and we've got all sorts of things. We've made a mental list of everything that we need to put on God, right? But what if before we got to any of that stuff, we turned our attention to God's agenda first? And we said, what is it that you want to accomplish? How can I be a part of it? Because, you know, God really has so much of a better idea for what our days and our lives should look like than we do ourselves. So wouldn't it do us well to sit and just try to listen for a little while? Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk who spent a good bit of his time in the mid-20th century at the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. Merton wrote extensively, and his writings in more recent years have been picked up, particularly by folks who are interested in the contemplative life. But one of the great things about Merton is that he is constantly pointing us through his own prayers and his own desires for his life to a God who is seeking to have God's will and God's way done among us. So in closing today, I thought that I would offer for us one of Merton's prayers and just invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'll read it slowly so that it might have a little bit of time to soak in, and it might be your prayer as well as my prayer as we close today. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me. You will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.
as we come to the table to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we'll share in a responsive, great Thanksgiving prayer together. And then from that, we'll share in the Lord's Prayer, perhaps a little more attuned to what we're saying. And we're going to take that pause that Steve talked about. So after we do the opening part, focusing on God, I'm just going to pause. And we'll have a few moments of silent prayer. And then we'll go on and share the rest of the prayer together. So I invite you to join. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. At the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and in the gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory in the feast of his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements and meet two stations. Thank you. table is a place where everyone is welcome. It's a place where we come when we seek to follow after Christ and to live lives that reflect the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come out the left side of your section, move to the pair of servers that are in front of your section of chairs, and cut your hands to receive a piece of bread. You can take that and dip it in the cup, and then return to your seat by the other side. And this morning I also invite you to spend some time in prayer at the kneeling benches. You might recite the Lord's Prayer again. You might make that pause again. Focus your prayers on God and who God is. Please come.
pray together? Thank you for that beautiful piece that reminds us of God and how God changes our hearts. Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this meal, for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May it strengthen us. May it make us keenly aware of your presence in our lives, that you bring a new heaven and a new earth, that you, O God, have the power to make all things new as your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing our last song, and let's do this with the intensity and vigor that we're going to have this afternoon while we watch a certain football game.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We see your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize, to see the captives are to ease, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness be in. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. Unleash your kingdom style, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness be. Show your mind. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Go out into the world to participate in what God is already doing to build the kingdom here. And may the grace of God and the love of Jesus